This is the Winchester Talking newspaper for the week ending Friday the 10th of June 2022. Hello. And welcome to this week's edition of the Hampshire Chronicle from the Winchester and District Talking newspaper. I'm your presenter, Barbara Kearns, and today I'm accompanied in the studio by readers Daphne Poupart.
Hello.
Nick Kearns.
Hello.
And Frieda Bates.
Hello.
First thing to say is if you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording, please ring Mary Davis on 01962 711 998 rather than the number on the key fob. However, before reporting the playback box as faulty, do make sure it's plugged in and fully charged up. As you listen to the recording, remember that you can use the buttons on your box to move on from an item before it finishes, or back to a previous track if you want to listen to it again. And for those of you with computers or tablets, as well as using your memory stick in the box, you can also access the weekly recording of the Chronicle through our website, www.winchestertalkingnews.com. Just go to the website, click on News on the header bar, locate the recording you want to hear, and click Download. The recordings are listed in date order, with the most recent first on the list. Now, let's take a look at this week's edition of the Chronicle, starting with the news. Here are the headlines. Jubilee memories to last a lifetime. Watercress line honoured by Queen. And council under fire for lack of bunting. And the first headline story, Daphne.
Right. Winchester residents came together over the four-day bank holiday to celebrate the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. Almost 50 roads were closed across the district so that communities could gather for traditional street parties to mark the occasion. Tables lined streets with union flags draped over garden walls and fences. Beacons were lit and trees were planted. This was a once-in-a-lifetime event. For some, it was also the first time they were able to properly meet their neighbours after COVID lockdowns. MP Steve Brine said, "I love my country, and last weekend, in my opinion, showed us at our very best. The people of Winchester, if not our city council, wrapped themselves in the flag beautifully, and I know the hundreds of events held locally will have made memories to last a lifetime for everyone involved." Council leader Martin Todd said, "It's been amazing to see so many street parties and community events. I'm glad so many people came together to celebrate the Queen's remarkable service."
Watercress line honoured by the Queen. Historic railway, the Watercress line, has been honoured with the Queen's Award for Voluntary Service. It has been made in recognition of the contribution made by the railway's many dedicated volunteers over nearly 50 years. The Queen's Award for Voluntary Service is the highest award a voluntary group can receive in the UK, and is equivalent to an MBE awarded to an individual. The president of the railway, Richard Lacey, said, "Everybody at the Watercress line is truly honoured and thrilled that our efforts have been recognised by this award. Since 1974, our wonderful volunteers, working with our small core of paid staff, have driven the restoration of the railway and reconnected Alsford to Alton by rail. Their skills, dedication and sheer hard work in restoring, operating and maintaining the railway and in delivering groundbreaking special events such as our steam illuminations has brought huge benefit to the local community. And that piece is accompanied by three colourful photos of volunteers doing their bit, including one with three gentlemen stood on the front of steam engine number 506 in Alsford Station, where there is, I hasten to add, bunting in view.
Reader.
Council under fire for lack of bunting. Winchester civic chiefs have come under fire for the lack of festive bunting and flags in the centre for the Jubilee. Whilst other towns such as Romsey and Bishop's Waltham put up bunting, the High Street had only one banner near the junction with Market Street and Upper Brook Street. The one-sided banner says, "Congratulations to Her Majesty the Queen on the occasion of her Platinum Jubilee." The Union flag has been flying over the Guildhall. No major public events were organised for the city centre over the holiday period. Several High Street shops, such as Closs and Hamblin, have made an effort with special window displays. Mike Coker Davis of Upper Brook Street told the Chronicle, "I am horrified at Winchester City Council's complete lack of interest in the Queen's Jubilee celebrations. One one-sided banner in the High Street and a few little bits by the Great Hall. This is clearly not a money issue, as bunting and flags abound on the internet at almost no cost." This then leaves the question, why? Is it a political statement or an attitude of complete indifference? It could, of course, be both. The issue has been widely raised on social media. Maureen Carter, for a sick cross, posted on Nextdoor, "A total shambles. Walking through the High Street this evening, not one flag. Shame on Winchester City Council. Hampshire County Council, even worse. And where are the hanging baskets? Last year I counted over 200. BID, do you have answers?" In a statement, Council Leader Martin Todd said, "The Council's main priority was to support events across the district, since we know from our own experience that Jubilee street parties, community festivals, beacons and other such events stay with people for a lifetime. We supported 49 temporary road closures for street parties and gave grants to 12 different community jubilee events in the city and across the district, as well as making sure the Visitor Information Centre and the Visit Winchester website were hubs of information that directed people to other jubilee events in the city and district. The Council is actively supporting the Queen's Green Canopy event, planting trees across the district. The Council have supplied plaques to mark these events to 24 parishes, 48 council housing sites and 27 council-maintained open spaces, which, alongside the trees themselves, will provide recognition to Her Majesty's remarkable record of service for many years to come."
I'm sorry if you heard some unexpected background noise in that last track. We're not entirely sure what it was, but I do hope it didn't stop your enjoyment of the article. That concludes the headline stories. So I'll go on with the death notices now, and Daphne will follow with Christian comment. Here are the death notices. Gillespie, Mary Elizabeth, née Ryan, died peacefully at Winchester Hospice on the 17th of May 2022, aged 87. Hooker, Austin Mark, a Littleton lad, passed away peacefully on the 5th of June 2022, aged 94 years. Petty, Nelly, known as Babs, passed away peacefully on the 5th of June 2022. Sherlock, Philip Timothy Patrick, known as Phil, passed away unexpectedly after a short illness on the 24th of May. Wilson, Diane Ruth, passed away on the 26th of May, 2022, aged 86. Christian comment has been written by Liz Tatham this week. She writes about when the spirit speaks to us. Thank you, Daphne.
If, like me, you are mesmerised by the Queen's Platinum Jubilee celebrations, you will have watched the Thanksgiving service on Thursday last week. You may have noticed that the Archbishop of York closed his eyes and prayed for a little while before he delivered his straightforward and honest sermon. He was probably praying for the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, to speak through him and transform his ordinary human thoughts and words into something inspirational and moving. Well, he did it for me, giving us all something to think about on the Christian faith and the impact it has had on Her Majesty. Sunday was the Feast of Pentecost. In all churches, we remember the day, 2,000 years ago, when the disciples and friends were in an upper room, wondering whether they were what they were supposed to do after witnessing the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. We are told in the book of Acts, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." And that's Acts 2, verse 4. "There was a great wind and then tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on their heads." Acts 2, verse 3. "An amazing experience and one they never forgot, and they were never the same again. Transformed, changed, anointed for ministry and service, and fearless in spreading the word." The Holy Spirit can be gentle and a whisper, but it can also be a rushing wind and knock us over. However it speaks, it is a powerful and transformative force of God. Some people find the Spirit to be the feminine side of God. Others have a once and never forgotten encounter, as the disciples did. We now know, if we didn't know before, that the Queen's faith is her foundation and her rock. After so many years of prayer, taught by her own mother, she has been changed and sustained by those encounters she must have had with God through His Spirit, even in many whispers and quiet moments. It has given her wisdom and strength. Have you noticed how she has something wise and profound to say on most subjects? She can maintain her dignity in all situations, even tea with Paddington. The Holy Spirit is available for us all, just waiting to be let in and speak to us. We shouldn't be frightened. The Spirit will speak to us in ways we can cope with and will not ask more of us than we can give. I have said it before and will say it again. Just give a few minutes a day in quiet or prayer. Wherever you can find space and time in your life is fine. The Queen pops into one of the chapels on the Windsor estate to be quiet and pray. We may not have private chapels, but there are lots of churches, parks, gardens, and open spaces for us to be alone with God. Try it and see if you are fortified and transformed over time. You may be surprised.
Thank you, Daphne. There's an assortment of subjects in the letter to the editor this week, starting with something that is not unexpected. Nick, can you start us with Jubilee failings, please?
Yes, indeed. A letter from A.P. Lodge. For most of its history, Winchester was known as a royalist city. Not that you'd notice it today. What a miserable lot our council have been over the Jubilee. The only signs of celebration come from individual businesses, and well done them. Celebration is good for business after all. But go to other places, in Test Valley, Wiltshire and Dorset for example, and the streets are cheerful, decked with flags and bunting. It can't have cost a fortune. And anyway, this is a complete one-off. None of us at any age will probably see another Platinum Jubilee. Shame on the council for your Puritan miseries. And that's from A.P. Lodge, Take Down Meads, Take Down Winchester.
This letter shows just how strong the feeling is that Nick has just read out to you in the last one. How many other Winchester residents like myself are disgusted with our city council for failing to celebrate a once-in-a-lifetime event like the Platinum Jubilee? They have failed the citizens of Winchester. No bunting, and as far as I can make out, no beacon either. The council should be ashamed of themselves. I spoke to some American tourists who came to the ancient capital as they were sure the city would go all out to celebrate. They were very disappointed, as I'm sure many other visitors were. Some of the market traders put on a better show. The cabinet should hang their heads in shame. And that letter comes from Monica Gill of Lawn Street, Winchester.
And another letter on the same theme. I am horrified at Winchester City Council's complete lack of interest in the Queen's Jubilee celebrations. One one-sided banner in the High Street and a few little bits by the Great Hall. This is clearly not a money issue, as bunting and flags abound on the internet at almost no cost. This then leaves the question, why? Is it a political statement or an attitude of complete indifference? It could, of course, be both. We have 40 councillors, a newly elected mayor and highly paid permanent officers. What a disgrace. I will be writing to Her Majesty, offering my apologies for Winchester City Council, and to assure her that huge numbers of the population in Winchester do support her and the monarchy, even if this council clearly does not. Thank you. And that comes from Michael Coker Davies, Upper Brook Street, Winchester.
And moving on now, the next piece is entitled Empty Seats. I spent a very enjoyable evening watching This Royal Throne at the Theatre Royal Winchester on June the 5th. It was a 75-minute romp from the thrones of the UK, from Richard II to Elizabeth II, with writings from Jane Austen, William Makepeace Thackeray, Horace Walpole and William Shakespeare, to celebrate 70 glorious years of Her Majesty the Queen. Winchester favourite John Miller wrote and directed it, and he and Michael Pennington and Pamela Cole were in it, standing in for Sean Phillips, who was unable to attend for personal reasons. The sad fact was it was only about a fifth full. There was no flyer, so unless you read the brochure or looked at the theatre website, you wouldn't have known it was on. It also came at the end of a long weekend of celebration. And having spent the whole 4 days at home, it appears not many people wanted to go out on Sunday evening. Plus, a lot of street parties were still in full swing at 7:30 p.m. So no one wanted to leave those. But I just wanted to tell all those who weren't there that they missed a cracking show. All the hard work John put into writing and directing it, Michael and Pamela for coming out on a Sunday, and the Theatre Royal for putting on a sensational show were not in vain. A big thank you for everyone involved. I hope John might be persuaded to publish the script so everyone can relive our magnificent history. And that's from Rupert Marks, Nightingale Close, Winchester.
Road investment. This is the first time that I feel the need to respond to an article in your newspaper. I am a resident of Cheriton and live close to the A272. I will be backing Donna Jones with her investment to make this road safer for all motorists. Over many years, this road has become an accident black spot. This is entirely due to the minority of motorcycles. They seem to have a different copy of the highway code to all other road users. The reasons they give for not wanting this money to be spent is because they will not be able to use the road as their version of the other Isle of Man TT practice event. Some of the reasons why they are such poor motorcycles: group racing at over 60 miles an hour, passing other road users by going over double white lines, and not riding to the road conditions. This part of the 8272 is a farming area with slow-moving vehicles, tractors and plant trying to cross the road. Do these motorcycles realise how much it costs the NHS to respond to the high number of accidents? The Hampshire Air Ambulance are often called out to accidents with motorcycles. They are a charity. So do these motorcycles give money to them? And because the high profits that Lumi's Moto Cafe makes out of motorcycles, do they donate to the air ambulance as well? The sooner this money is spent on the A272, the better. Well done to the Prime Commissioner, the Crime Commissioner, Donna Jones. Now, that letter comes from Barry Frampton, Mark All Close, Cheriton.
James Anderson writes, "In my boyhood, our Conservative Prime Minister was Harold Macmillan. The state ran most things: rail, buses, steel, coal, power, gas, telephone, road transport, ports, and travel agent Thomas Cook. The aim was to protect the ordinary person from the post-war challenges. Instead, the post-war opportunities slid through our fingers like sand, ushering in the labour chaos of the 1970s. What people really want becomes clear only when we spend our money ourselves through a market. Yet the modern Conservative administration appears to have forgotten. As just one example of the mentality, the ruinously expensive extremism of zero carbon is imposed, made tolerable only by central government support. We have hundreds of years of gas under our feet, but government prefers the pretense of imported gas. All of our energy is to be electric, while last year our much-lauded wind power produced just 4% of it. Unarguably, the money tree is finite, and more for energy means less for us. Elite conservatism is riven with the European socialism philosophy. Choices are decided by the state and not by voters at market. Our MP, Steve Brine, wants rid of Boris Johnson. Last I heard, he wants Jeremy Hunt. Remember Jeremy? He was the health secretary who picked a fight with junior doctors, promising great benefits which never materialised. He kicked the can of NHS reform down the road and was implicated in poor pandemic planning. As a Boris replacement, he seems like pot replacing kettle. I cannot see that a game of musical chairs is going to solve anything. Steve Brine himself is an ardent supporter of the economically incompetent net zero, and that puts him in the frame for the administration's failures, along with about 100 of his colleagues. Both Lib Dem and Labour are of similar European socialism mind, which leaves voters between a rock and a hard place. For the Conservatives, only a spell in the outer darkness is going to restore sense." And that comes from James Anderson, Wrights Close, South Wanston, Winchester.
Colin Keppel has written in about property prices. On May the 30th, an opinion piece by William Davis was published in The Guardian. "This age of inflation reveals the sickness ailing Britain's economy, rentier capitalism." For your information, I took the liberty of quoting the May the 26th Hampshire Chronicle, without mentioning it though, in a comment below it as follows. "My local paper this week has an item about house prices. House prices increased by 3.3% In March, new figures show. The boost contributes to the longer-term trend, which has seen property prices in the area achieve 14% percentage annual growth over the month. The picture was better than across the southeast. Owners of semi-detached houses saw the biggest improvement in property prices. Excuse me, better? Improvement? I hear there has been a big improvement in petrol prices recently. And electricity and food prices are much better now than they were. The explanation is no doubt that the paper gets plenty of revenue from property ads. So automatically for them, higher property prices are better property prices. But I don't believe the editor gave it much thought. No other commenter replied to it, but it did get 12 likes. Please make of it what you will. I'm sorry about the last two sentences, which would have been better left out. But I would submit that higher property prices are just part of the excessive inflation, which is generally regarded as not a good thing. More money shelled out to secure a roof over your head means you have less money to spend on, say, local newspapers. And that was from Colin Keppel, Brockbridge Road, Droxford.
This letter comes from Christopher Gordon of Corns Close, Winchester, and it's headed Bearings Lost. I note that Steve Brine believes anyone who thinks Parliament is not a very modern workplace is mistaken. Chronicle, letter from Westminster, May the 19th. Clearly, he's been there too long and appears to have completely lost his bearings. I can only assume his comment is part of the current confected and desperate Conservative Party rhetoric designed to delude us into accepting scandalous behaviour and ridiculous processes as somehow normal. But we are now well used to being treated as fools by this government and its apologists. The parliamentary majority of our present corrupt and venal government, with support from our MP, is embroiled in multiple scandals and toxic behaviour that would have proved fatal to any previous administration. However, set on its own ethics-free course, it sails on unconcerned and even now contemplates flouting with impunity an international treaty signed by its own convicted leader. Two by-elections forthcoming, both caused by Tory MPs' disgrace, and 56 MPs, including three cabinet ministers, being investigated for sexual misconduct, with another anonymous Tory MP arrested and charged with rape and misconduct in public office. Oh yes, a very modern workplace. If Steve Brine has any real interest in understanding how a modern parliamentary workplace functions, I suggest he takes a trip to Edinburgh. Excellent photo opportunities there, Steve. And checks out the Scottish Parliament, which was designed for this century. Sorry about the noise. The building, the institution's peripatetic committee processes, and the voting procedures are user-friendly. It might cause our MP to revise his complacent views on the UK Westminster Parliament's archaic electoral system and dinosaur voting procedures, and learn how a very modern representative democracy actually can go about its business in 2022. That's from Christopher Gordon, Corns Close, Winchester.
And the next letter comes from Simon Lever, and it's headed Defending Swans. Swans quite rightly take action to defend themselves and their cygnets. Humans are to blame. Common sense suggests keeping a reasonable distance from swans in order to respect their absolute right to live their lives without human interference. The Chronicle of May the 26th says swans attacking members of the public, animals and boats. A pathetic reaction of individuals who should know better. As for animals, a swan has every right to defend itself from, for example, a dog without a lead. To destroy the eggs is an obscene act against swans that are supposed to be protected by Her Majesty's Swan Marker. When at school, we were taught, in no uncertain terms, that swans were under the Queen's protection, and that must be respected. Esme Holding is right. It was acting in self-defence. I agree, the college is acting immorally. As for safe location, how were they removed? Sedated? Suffering the loss of their eggs in addition to waking up in an unknown location is a hideous act. The best outcome for swans would be to educate those individuals that their ignorance, and not the swans, is to blame. As for multiple severe injuries, Ronan Hayder should have been taught to keep a distance. Indeed, the College, Her Majesty's Swan Marker and Natural England should be ashamed of their behaviour. And that's from Simon Lever, Juniper Close, Badger Farm, Winchester.
Film helpers required. Solent Movie Makers, the Southampton-based movie-making society, are planning to film a documentary about the Southampton trams and need some help. They're interested in talking to anyone who is willing to be interviewed on camera to talk about the trams, the network, and anything they remember about them. Of particular interest would be people who actually worked on the tram network in any sort of capacity. Additionally, the filmmaking team would love to have access to any old photographs or memorabilia which people may have. These could be filmed or copied and incorporated in the documentary. Initially, the club would like anyone who is willing to help to contact the director of the film, Howard Blake, on 07878 122 116 or by email at howardblake712@hotmail.com. The project is planned for completion by late this year. If you would like to know more about Solent Movie Makers, please check out their website at www.solentmoviemakers.org. And I'll just give you those contact details again for Howard Blake. His mobile number is 07878 122 116, or his email is howardblake712, and that's all one word, no gaps or anything, at hotmail.com.
Of a new surgery. It was interesting to read in last week's Chronicle of June the 2nd about the proposed extension to St Paul's Surgery in Alison Way. This surgery is already a modern, well-designed building, which must be congenial to work in and comfortable to visit. St Clement's Surgery is, however, the complete opposite, being outdated, run down, and now in increasingly urgent need of replacement. The promised new home for St Clement's looks marvellous in the architect's drawings. The problem is there is no sign of it turning into reality, and the proposed site remains undisturbed, with no signs of groundwork commencing. I think many of St Clement's patients, such as myself, are beginning to fear that they may not live long enough to see the new practice become a reality. And that heartfelt cry is from Helen Etherington, St Swithin Street, Winchester.
And now a short letter headed Inspiring Queen. Her Majesty is an inspiring person and the mother of our nation. She has reigned long and true with both grace and dignity. Her Majesty has visited Hampshire many times, and I am blessed to have over 30 years of letters about many different subjects. Let's celebrate this Platinum Jubilee with smiles and enjoyment by bringing communities together. God bless the Queen, long may she reign. And that's from Mark Rowe, Taplings Close, Week, Winchester.
Thank you. I'm really sorry that there was a bit of building noise in the background during the letters. They always seem to start during Frieda's readings. I don't know why she reads so beautifully. I do hope that if it starts again, it doesn't spoil your enjoyment of this recording. Let's move on. If you have an opinion or a subject you would like to air in the Hampshire Chronicle, you can contact them on 01962 860 836. That's 01962 860 836. Or email news@hampshirechronicle.co.uk. Or you could write a letter to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. Now we'll continue with Chronicle Comment, First Person and Belgarum. Now the editor heads up her article this week with Celebrating the Queen's Milestone. She writes, "It is easy to be cynical about the royal family. To quote the Sex Pistols from 1977 and their lyric, God save the Queen, God save this mad parade. But the 4 days of celebrations for the Platinum Jubilee have given the nation a huge boost after the grim news of recent years, such as the climate crisis, COVID-19 and the invasion of the Ukraine. Nationwide, there were thousands of street parties, and in the Winchester district, 49 roads were closed for the gatherings, not counting the dozens of events on parks and other open spaces. It was a chance for people to relax and catch up with people they hadn't seen for years, or make new friends amongst their neighbours. The events paid tribute to a woman who has done her duty steadfastly for 70 years, a guiding beacon through the choppy waters of public life. Obviously, her days are coming towards the end, but the Jubilee was a chance to remind ourselves that the monarchy is still somehow better than any alternative." The first person article this week is an in-house piece from Kimberly Barber, the editor of the Chronicle. Here's Nick.
When work trials go well. As editor of 4 local newspapers, including the Hampshire Chronicle, every week I receive at least one, sometimes several, requests from students wanting to come and do work experience. I am one of the kinder editors and try at the very least to reply to these requests. You may be surprised to hear that even now, in the world where the traditional print newspaper is not as popular as it once was, there is still a steady queue of people willing and eager to come and try their hand at local news reporting. I'm not sure if that's because it was once a traditional place to do work experience, or whether they are pushed into it by their lecturers, or if it's due to an increasing amount of young people opting for media studies. Whatever the reason, it's nice to see so many people, and not just youngsters either, taking the initiative to get in touch and, most importantly, ask to try something new. Space limitations mean we can only accommodate one person at a time. This also makes it fair on them, as they can then get the attention from the other members of staff without becoming too much of a burden on their time. We normally only take people over 18 too, just in case we have to deal with a sensitive story. Plus, swearing is still commonplace in local news offices, and sometimes my mum brain worries that the expletives are not appropriate for younger ears. Many come to our office and are disappointed that being a local news journalist does not carry the same glamour that is portrayed on television. Reporters are often shown as chasing one story, spending days digging and delving, unpicking layers to uncover the truth, gallivanting across the world on unlimited expenses and interviewing celebrities and hounding politicians with hard-hitting questions. They are rarely portrayed answering and replying to the hundreds of emails they get each day, or talking an elderly reader through the intricacies of accessing news online, transcribing letters. Yes, people still handwrite and even occasionally use a typewriter to contact us. Compiling lists, putting together community news pages, or being shouted at by someone for the one typo they have made while writing thousands of words each day. Despite the day-to-day drudgery and the long hours, plus the abuse, both online and in person, there are some who are not entirely put off by the real work of a local journo. Since the pandemic restrictions loosened earlier this year and we moved back into office working, we have welcomed many young people into our office. Eagle-eyed readers will have spotted an odd byline or two. Some have embraced the experience, while others couldn't wait for the end of the week to arrive. I'm never offended by the latter. We do try and make working for us as enjoyable as possible. However, for some, it's just not what shows like Broadchurch promised that it would be. I remember turning up for a week of work experience at the News Portsmouth in 2008. It was a far cry from the movies, but I knew from the end of my first day that it was the place for me. Work experience placements give a snapshot of the work without the commitment. It's okay not to return once your placement ends. It's also okay to keep coming back for more. Readers may have spotted a new face on page two today. Adele Bouchard started on Monday. She's recently graduated from the University of Winchester and came to the newsroom on work experience in February. She came with the right attitude, loved the work, and fitted right in. And she wasn't put off by the swearing. I'm sure she'll have a stellar career as a local newspaper hack.
Well, we've got three articles from Belgarum this week. Frieda, would you start us off with the first one, please?
Absolutely. From Dawn to Dusk. The Watercress Way has celebrated its fifth Dawn to Dusk Day. Events were held to introduce walkers to the ecology, accessibility and the railway history along the circular route. Local runners also completed a full marathon during that day. Walkers were able to go through the 27 miles of waymarked circular routes for their dawn to dusk day. They had three guided walks, including one starting at 4:30 a.m., and walkers recorded the songs of 40 birds. They were later introduced to the before and after sections of the railway line, located in Kingsworthy. Chris Cornell spoke about the complicated arrangements of the railway lines south of Worthy Down Holt. Walkers also heard about the unique environment of the chalk stream that the Grafton Trust in Sutton Scotney was managing. Mr. Cornell explained the station's significance to the walkers and shared the plans for the old bridge on Wanston Road. After going through the old droves, they stopped along the way at one of Watercress Way's sponsor pubs, the Wanston Arms. The charity received £250 in donations, which could be put into funding for the Wanston Road Gates project. Copies of the walk routes will be published in time for the charity's AGM on June the 16th, where they hope to hold a bat walk, depending on the weather. Now, this piece is accompanied by a photograph of a lot of people looking really, really interested and standing under the beautiful brick arch of, presumably, Wanston Bridge.
Archaeology group saves ring. When Margaret Barber got back into her garden this spring, although the weather was good, that afternoon did not end on a happy note. As she washed her hands, she realised that the wedding ring she had worn for over 55 years was no longer on her finger. Back in the garden, she searched the area she had been working, but without success. The ring was lost. Well, you may be able to replace a piece of gold, but you can never replace the memories it symbolises. So, what to do? Fortunately, Margaret is a member of a group of people used to digging up lost treasures. So she contacted her friends in the Winchester Archaeology and History Group, WARG, and asked for help. Initially, she asked for an advertisement for the help of a metal detectorist to be put in the next regular newsletter. But as this was not due to be published for several weeks, the editor decided an urgent request should go out via the online mailing system. Within an hour, offers of help flooded in. A few days later, the garden had been extensively investigated and the ring was discovered in the undergrowth. WARG is well used to digging the dirt, occasionally in someone's back garden, as well as more prestigious sites, but the process is very similar. The difference on this occasion was that they knew what they were searching for and they were doing it for a friend. WARG is 50 years old in 2022, having started as the Winchester Archaeology Rescue Group, helping to preserve threatened important sites. If you would like to know more about WARG, why not visit the website at all lowercase www.warg.org.uk. And there is a photograph with that of Barbara on her wedding day wearing a gorgeous wedding dress, holding out her hand to three admiring bridesmaids who are all looking at that lovely ring.
And the final Belgarum piece is entitled Appeal Leads to Return of Stolen Postbox Covering. Wickham residents were relieved to see the return of a commemorative Platinum Jubilee postbox topper, just hours after it was pinched by thieves. People were left outraged after noticing the crafted topper, which took hours to make, had been removed from a postbox in the square overnight, despite being secured by cable ties. An appeal was launched on social media to try and find the culprit, with groundsman Paul Collins even offering a £50 reward to whoever returned the work of art to its rightful place. Sandy Rawls said, "Whoever stole this postbox topper last night, please return it. There has been so much work which has gone into this. It's not fair that someone has stolen it. Is nothing safe these days?" However, within an hour of the appeal going live and the incident being reported to the police, the topper was back, sitting pride and place on top of the postbox in the nick of time for the weekend's four-day Jubilee festivals, much to the delight of worried locals. And that piece is also accompanied by a small picture. Not that you can see the postbox in it, but there is a large yellow sign saying warning the square closed, and you can just see from the pan display sign that it is Wickham Square. I'm sure the post box is in the distance somewhere.
You everyone. Now, let's have a look at what's on in the region over the next week or so. I've got a couple of things. Saturday the 11th, something I'm looking forward to myself, is the Winchester Ukulele Festival at the Rugby Club in North Walls in Winchester. There's Opera Lely, Phil Dolman and the wonderfully named Strumdiddlyumptious playing, amongst many other acts. The following Saturday, the 18th of June, there's the Winchester Cheese and Chili Festival. Now, that's going to be at North Walls Recreation Ground. It's from 10 a.m. It's on the 18th and the 19th, so that's Saturday and Sunday. £5 to get in. And it says it's set to spice up the summer with highlights including a chili eating competition, food challenges, cooking demonstrations, family-friendly entertainment, and much, 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 it says. I think it means more. Another little snippet that might be rather fun is the Toy Train Festival is back. Hurrah! The annual Festival of Toy Trains is back at Perrin School for the first time in 3 years. Toy trains from the 1920s to the 1980s will be on show in both the main hall and sports hall in the school in Alsford on Saturday, June the 18th. 25 layouts, including Hornby, O-Gage and Dublo, Triang Dublo and TT, Bowman Livestream, Garden Railway, Brio, excuse me, and even a Jubilee-themed layout will thrill the visitors, as well as 80 sales tables with traders selling old and new toy and model trains and accessories. There'll be lots of trains for children to play with and operate, and refreshments will be organised by Alsford and Cheriton Scouts. That's on from 10:30 a.m. till 4:30 p.m. Sounds rather fun. Now, moving on. Now, there's been a rather fabulous Jubilee weekend gone on, and the Chronicle has a four-page spread of lots and lots of pictures from the weekend. I'll pick out a few to describe for you. There are numerous pictures of street parties, including a street party in Elm Road and another one in Hampton Lane. There's a party at Hairstock Primary School and another in Edgar Road and one in Grafton Road. As you can imagine, every picture is red, white and blue themed. Everybody's wearing either red, white and blue. Oh, apart from a, looks like a scarecrow of the Queen, who's wearing a green jacket and wellies. But she's the Queen, so that's allowed. There's, oh, somebody's made the Jubilee trifle, and that's that was enjoyed at the street party in Cammon Street. That was the lemon one that there was a television programme about a week or two back. Over the page, we have the most gorgeous postbox topper. It was made, and I happen to know this, it was made by the ladies of the WI in Oliver's Battery, and it features Her Majesty, the Queen, in crochet, an enormous gold and red crown, a horse, naturally, and I believe there are something like 29 corgis on this topper, as well as it's being trimmed in flowers, crocheted flowers. It looks absolutely fabulous. Carrying on, there are there's a street party in the High Street in Bishop's Waltham, and there are some children absolutely enthralled by the entertainer. We can't see the entertainer, but you can see these enthralled children, and most of them have got swords made out of balloons. Again, over the page, there's lots of these pictures. There's a very pretty girl, Amelia Burton, who's 4 years old, who won the fancy dress competition at Winnall Social Club. And she's dressed in a white dress with a blue sash. She has a crown on her head and an orb and scepter. I think she's being the queen. Looks absolutely delighted with winning. There are more street parties in Alsford and in Hague Road. The park run this week in I think that's Winchester Park Run, has obviously got a red, white and blue theme as well. So there's all the runners in Union Jack vests and another queen who looks as though she's been running there. So the whole region has had a very good celebration.
And lots of cake.
Lots and lots of cake. And as I say, that Jubilee that trifle. Mm. Yes.
And bunting.
Huge amounts of bunting. Huge amounts of bunting in the region. Now, here are the lighting up times. On Saturday the 11th of June, the sun will set at 9:19 p.m. And on Wednesday the 15th of June, the sun will rise at 4:50 a.m. and will set at 9:22 p.m. Yes, it's nearly midsummer already. Now on to items of general news. Frieda, would you like to kick us off, please?
Yes. Charity Relaxation Day to raise cash. A charity that gives free breaks at top hotels to the most deserving in society is calling on people to take part in some relaxation to help its cause. Room to Reward partners with hotels across the country to ensure their unsold rooms are well used by donating them to Hidden Heroes. Charities and community groups nominate people for a well-earned short break. With more than 1,100 people from 700 charities and groups taking up the stay since it launched in 2015. The charity, which is based at Christchurch, started out with hotels in Dorset and Hampshire and has now signed 650 hotels from across the UK to this initiative. Now, as it looks to help more people, it is holding a relaxation day dubbed Relax to Reward that will see a host of well-being activities take place on Avon Beach in Muddiford on July the 6th. The day will see yoga and Pilates classes, including paddleboard yoga and various fitness treatments, light snacks and refreshments, health guidance and a fundraising raffle before culminating with cocktails and a silent disco yoga class at sunset. Kate Wood, fundraising executive at Room to Reward, said, "We are absolutely thrilled to be bringing this event to Avon Beach and can't wait for a fantastic afternoon of fun and fundraising. I'd like to say a huge thank you to all the instructors and organisations who are supporting the event, along with our main sponsors, the Noisy Lobster, Hush Club, Temple Spa, Dorset Tea and Oto. Their amazing support has made what promises to be a wonderful event possible. Tickets for Relax to Reward, which starts at 2:30 p.m. on July... Wait a minute, let me just check back. July the 13th, I think it said. 2:30, and they cost £50. All the money raised through sales and events on the day will go towards Room in Reward's mission.
Ukrainian support hub launched in city. Hosts and refugees from across the Winchester district flocked to the Guild Hall for the first meeting of the City Council's new Ukrainian support hub. The event saw scores of guests and their host families take advantage of a range of services, advice and guidance on housing, job opportunities, benefits and general support. Alongside council officers, representatives from Citizens Advice, Winchester District, Winchester Basics Bank and Winchester City of Sanctuary, which played a huge part in the hub's development, were in attendance. Host Yvette Riley travelled from the Itchen Valley to attend the inaugural meeting with Maria, a refugee who arrived in the UK with her daughter Rita just under 3 weeks ago. She said, "That's one of the things about being a host. You know there are lots of services available, but the difficulty is finding out how to access them. So days like today are a great help." Maria has had the chance to speak with the library, which will be an amazing tool for her daughter Rita to use in the coming weeks. It's also a fantastic opportunity to meet with representatives from the council's housing department and talk about what's next. As a host, you make a commitment for 6 months, and of course we're happy to have them way beyond that, but if they would like to look at getting their own home at some point, then great. They are proud people who don't want to take handouts from anyone. And discovering all these services goes a long way in helping them to maintain their independence and settle in. As part of a new service offered by the authority, Ukrainians and their hosts will be able to drop into the support hub to access help and meet in a safe environment every Tuesday throughout the month of June. The hub will be open from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and translation services are available. Councillor John Tippett Cooper, designated City of Sanctuary champion, said, "Over the last 2 months, the City Council has been working closely with key organisations like Winchester City of Sanctuary, Churches Together and the University of Winchester to support the growing community of Ukrainian families and their hosts across the district. Thanks to support from these organisations and many volunteers in the community, many Ukrainians arriving are settling in after often deeply traumatic experiences. A need had been identified for a one-stop hub of different key support services for Ukrainian refugees arriving in Winchester District under the Homes for Ukraine scheme and Ukraine Family scheme. It's really positive that the City Council now has this hub up and running. We really want the hub to be somewhere for hosts under the Homes for Ukraine scheme to access too. Winchester District's hosts cannot be praised enough. Opening their homes to support people fleeing war is a truly kind and decent thing to do. The City Council wants to do everything possible to support them. We had a really steady stream of people from when we opened at 10 a.m. I think that really reinforces the need for this service." Beth Flint, founder and chair of Winchester City of Sanctuary, a community group which started in 2020, said, "We've been hoping for a service like this and it's lovely to see it here. It's key people have that clear access to service provision locally, which they know they can come back to for future support. It has been great working with the council to help them shape this. Our long-term hope is that we've can become a space of sanctuary, so to speak, rather than working more independently. We bring with us knowledge and expertise of working specifically with the needs, risks and vulnerabilities of refugees and asylum seekers. So what we can do is help other organisations that have pre-existing services to slightly tweak those services and make them more bespoke." Speaking on whether the hub might be extended beyond June, Ms. Flint said, "In time, we'll look at whether we have a more permanent hub and space. We'll have to wait and see how much long-term that need is, but we're very much working with the council on that, and I can imagine it will be reviewed continually."
Cathedral peregrine chicks start to fly. Winchester Cathedral's peregrine chicks have been stretching their wings for the first time. The chicks have been absent from their perch in recent days. On the cathedral's website, Keith Betton, chair of Hampshire Ornithological Society, said, "Our chicks are growing well and are exercising their wings daily. They often prefer the side gully, which is off camera, although feed seem to be around the nest tray. Very soon they will be far more mobile and could be anywhere in the gully." A few people have asked for an explanation of food caching. Winnie and William, that's the parents, sometimes cache a portion or a whole kill if they find themselves with too much food at one time. They will push it into a corner somewhere to use later, although usually they will pluck the prey and eat part of it immediately. Often, a series of shriveled up wings and headless bodies are left abandoned in the gully and never used. It's a bit grim in the gully already. Occasionally, he will take food that Winnie has cached, although he usually does so only once he has alerted her to his intentions using soft chop calls. Winnie, who had at least 25 chicks with her late mate Chester, returned to the cathedral ledge at the start of February. However, for the first time in years, Winnie, who hatched another 3 peregrine chicks in 2021, was flying solo after her mate Chester died in May last year. Winnie found a new male in mid-February who has since been named William by the Winchester Cathedral team. Winchester Cathedral have 2 cameras set up to monitor the peregrines.
Hampshire Fishing Store reels in 2 world-renowned authors. A Hampshire fishing shop has reeled in 2 world-renowned authors for an exclusive book signing. Orvis UK in Stockbridge will host David Profumo and Mark Wormald on June the 17th from 4:30 p.m. Customers will be greeted with a drink from sponsors Test Valley Distillery and can meet the pair before they read passages from their new books. Copies of both The Lightning Thread, Fishological Moments and the Pursuit of Paradise by David Profumo, and The Catch, Fishing for Ted Hughes by Mark Wormald. David Profumo is a former fishing correspondent of the Daily Telegraph and now a long-standing columnist in Country Life magazine. He caught his first fish in Scotland 60 years ago. He was co-editor alongside Graham Swift of the classic angling anthology The Magic Wheel and wrote In Praise of Trout, to which Ted Hughes, former poet laureate, of course, contributed the foreword. His latest book was published in May 2021 and was launched in paperback on April the 28th. It has been described as a dazzling work around the restorative power of nature and finding joy in simple pleasures. Sounds a bit like a latter-day Isaac Walton. Mark Wormald has been fishing since the age of 4. He is an award-winning poet, winning the Newdigate Prize at Oxford in 1996 and an E.C. Gregory Award from the Society of Authors in 1995. Mark has been a fellow of Pembroke College, Cambridge, since 1992, and his first office was once the bed-sitting room in which Ted Hughes dreamed of a burned fox. Now there is a photograph of these two, and in the centre a little round photograph of the Orvis shop. David Profumo, on the left, is standing with his arms crossed with a lovely smile. Mark Wormald, however, on the right, also has his arms crossed, that looks very fierce.
2 brands set to move into High Street. Two major global businesses are set to open in the former Next store in Winchester High Street, but both are keeping their plans under wraps. Builders moved into the unit under the Travelodge to split it into two last month. Gym operator F45 Training and restaurant chain German Doner Kebab are rumoured to be lined up to occupy the units. However, both deals have yet to be publicly confirmed. German Doner Kebab, which recently opened a branch in Portsmouth, refused to confirm its interest. The chain, which also has a restaurant in Basingstoke, specialises in game-changing gourmet kebabs, according to its website. The company, which is owned by the Hero Brands Group, announced plans to open 78 new sites in 2022, earlier this year. F45 Training is a global fitness community that specialises in innovative, high-intensity group workouts that are fast, fun and results-driven. The American company is rapidly expanding across the United States and has a rapidly growing franchise of over 1,900 specialist fitness centres worldwide. However, a spokesman from F45 Training Headquarters declined to confirm the business's intention to move to Winchester. The spokesman in an email said, "Unfortunately, I'm not able to share that information for confidentiality reasons." The prominent site next to Debenhams and below Travelodge has been empty since Next departed 5 years ago. Previously, the store was a supermarket with occupants since the 1970s, including Gateway and Summerfield.
Students' viral pizza escapades. A Winchester University student featured on a popular Facebook group last night after an order mix-up sent her dinner to her old address. Psychology student Grace Matilda became last night's entertainment after posting onto Winchester Rants how her pizza from 88's in Stockbridge Road ended up on the kitchen counter of her previous home, with no one in to answer the door. Grace, 23, from Milton Keynes, quickly realised that her old address in Wolf Close Stanmore was saved to her 88's takeaway account when she sprinted over in hopes of retrieving it. She said, "It was fully my fault, which is why I was so pleasantly surprised that the manager was so sweet about it. It was my old student address, which is why the moment I realised what I'd done, I sprinted over, as I knew where it was. My name is Grace, and the person that lives there is called Reese. So the delivery guy knocked quickly and handed it over, thinking they said the right name. And because Reese is a carer, he left immediately. So I was knocking and banging the door, but no one was in, which I thought was better because I thought they were ignoring me. After stubbornly staying a whole 45 minutes before admitting defeat, Grace got a call from the takeaway. She said, "The manager of 88's called me and said, 'I saw what happened on Facebook. Do you want a replacement order? I'm really sorry.' Then the people with my original pizza called and asked if I wanted it back. So I said yes, then gave it to the neighbours as they have young children. In the end, I went from having no pizza to four." The post has racked up 400 likes and over 100 comments, with residents intrigued to know if she finally got her pizza. She said, "I put it on Winchester Rants, hoping the students in the house would see it. But then it became quite funny and turned it into a bit more of a joke, which made me feel a bit better about the situation." 88's manager, Marcin Jablonski, said, "I saw the post on Facebook and saw she was upset, so offered her a new order for free to keep her happy." I delivered the order within 20 minutes. It's a normal human reaction from my side, and it was important to make her happy because she was really upset.
Oh.
And there's a picture of Grace Matilda outside her old address.
Oh, but not the pizza.
No, she's no. eaten that.
Carry on, Frieda.
No, that's what I call proper customer service. Music festival returning. Four top acts are set to rock the grounds of four luxury hotels as a multi-venue music festival celebrates music, food and all things good this summer. The Smoked and Uncut Festival was the brainchild of Robin Hutchison, founder and owner of the Pig Hotel chain. After holding the first live music event at the Pig in Brockenhurst 7 years ago and seeing how popular it was, Robin says the idea has grown and is now returning in June, July and August, bigger and better. The business is bouncing back after a tumultuous couple of years brought about by the pandemic and lockdowns, and Robin is full of optimism that this year's festival will be unmissable. Lulu is the first top name who will perform on June the 18th at the Pig in Brockenhurst. Then Jules Holland will take to the stage on July the 9th at the Pig in Pensford, followed by Earth, Wind and Fire at Limewood in Lyndhurst on July the 23rd. Before the festival comes to a rousing indie end with Supergrass at the Pig in Canterbury on August the 13th. Robin said, "Over the years we have had some really good people play for us, but we have some very interesting acts this year. We are absolutely thrilled to have Lulu. I've been watching her latest shows and they are great. It's going to be a brilliant night." Robin said the main selling point, apart from the acts and the food, is the fact that the festival nights are being held at his hotels, which are well known for their quality and luxury and have excellent reputations. Along with the usual hotel rooms, three of the dates will provide glamping. That's glamorous camping. Robin said, "Most festivals you go to are a pretty uncomfortable experience, and no matter how good you are at planning, if the weather turns, it can be grim. Having done Glastonbury in the rain, I know that it's no fun. Plus, the food often leaves a lot to be desired, as can the customer service. Because our events are staffed with our own teams, that helps us to deliver a great level of service. We put a lot of energy and effort into our events, especially the food. We like to think we are a step above the average festival. The nights in Bath and Limewood are expected to attract around 4,000 people, with 2,000 people expected to attend the two other similar venues. Robin, who runs 8 Pig hotels, as well as Limewood and a hotel in the French Alps, says he hopes the festival will expand, and he didn't rule out further dates and venues next year. We are enjoying a pretty good period right now, he said. The industry has seen some tough times over the last few years, but thankfully the British public have booked staycations and have enjoyed them. He added, the tickets to our events are selling well. I think that's because people are wanting to get out and about and enjoy themselves. Being outdoors at a festival is a great and safe way to do that. And there is a photograph of Smoked and Uncut at Limewood, and there's a blue and white striped marquee and a lot of people standing or sitting on the grass. They seem to be having a really good time. But then, as far as I can see, the sun is shining.
Attorney General gives talk to law students. Attorney General for England and Wales, the Right Honourable Suella Braverman, QC, MP, shared details of her life growing up, her legal education and her historic career with undergraduate law students at the University of Winchester and answered their questions at a special event. Miss Braverman, who is the country's youngest ever Attorney General and only the second woman to be appointed to the role, was the guest of honour at an event hosted by the Student Winchester Law Society. At the event, she spoke about her journey to the top of the legal profession, including completing her master's degree in Paris and qualifying for the bar in New York. She gave a powerful insight into a day in the life of the Attorney General, who is the government's most senior legal adviser and a cabinet member. She went on to give advice to the students present about building a career in the highly sought-after profession, and also answered students' questions on a wide range of subjects, including Brexit, the cost of living crisis, windfall taxes, the war in Ukraine, and the government's immigration policy. Asked what advice she would give students aspiring to work in the legal profession, Miss Braverman said, "I think law can be a really fulfilling and challenging profession, and if you want to work in the profession, there are many, many capacities in which you can find a role and purpose. And if you get rejected from one application and it doesn't work out, don't give up. There are many opportunities within the profession to really make a difference to people's lives." Charlie Keast, president of the Student Winchester Law Society, said, "It was brilliant to have the opportunity to host the Attorney General. Although she is a political figure, she has an extensive background in the legal profession outside politics, and of course legal experience in government. As the second female Attorney General, it was interesting to hear about her journey as a lawyer and what advice she had for anyone going into the profession." Law student Ellie Phillips, who chaired the Q&A session, said, "Interviewing Suella was an experience that I will never forget. Hearing about her hard work and dedication has really inspired me as I go forward with my own legal career. I really appreciate that she took the time to come and speak to us." Julian Dobson, senior lecturer in law, said, "It was inspiring to hear Suella Braverman's journey and to acknowledge the obstacles she overcame."
Scarecrow Trail held in village. The Ozzlebury Scarecrow Trail welcomed the new Mayor of Winchester to one of his first Platinum Jubilee events. Councillor Derek Green braved the weather to admire scarecrows in all shapes and sizes. The Ozzlebury Scarecrow Trail has 40 creations on show throughout the village, and it was open until June the 5th. Siobhan Hand from the Ozzlebury Scarecrow team said, "We were honoured that the Mayor took time to visit the village and admire these amazing creations. He was really impressed by the imagination and talent on show and admitted he was relieved he didn't have to judge the scarecrows. The characters depicted favourite royalty throughout the ages, fact and fiction, and adorned the main roads in Ozzlebury and the glebe field beside the church. The creations included British kings and queens, film and fictional royals, and a few corgis. The trail offered half-term fun with a chance to identify the films and enjoy a walk."
Oh, Scarlett Johansson spotted in Winchester. One of the world's top actors stopped off at Winchester's Turtle Bay for a meal. Superstar Scarlett Johansson, best known for her roles in Lost in Translation, Her, Ghost World, Captain America and Black Widow, was spotted enjoying herself at the restaurant in St. George's Street on Saturday, May the 28th. Turtle Bay staff member Greta Contry said, "She came in a week on Saturday. It was very late. We tried to get photos. She was very polite about it, but said no." Just last month, the actress was pictured in Portsmouth, reportedly wearing a navy uniform on the HMS Prince of Wales. Movie news websites claim the production is for the directorial debut of Kristen Scott Thomas, which will also feature Sienna Miller. There were also reported sightings of the superstar Scarlett Johansson at Kyoto Kitchen in Parchment Street around the same time. Film crews have also been spotted setting up at Winchester's Park and Ride site in Barfield Close on Monday, June the 6th and Tuesday, June the 7th, reportedly for the filming of a new Disney series of Never Let Me Go. Now, the Turtle Bay staff may not have been allowed to take a photograph, but there is a photograph with this little article, and it shows Scarlett Johansson in the film Black Widow, and she really is looking very unhappy.
St Swithin's activist selected as UNICEF youth advisor. A student at a Winchester school has been selected as one of 8 UK youth advisors for UNICEF. St Swithin's sixth form student and incoming head girl Jamie C was selected after a rigorous selection process and an interview by the UNICEF youth lead. Her application included a video in which she explained her commitment to champion children's rights and a recital of her poem, There Must Be a Reason for Why We Are Here, with which she won the Hampshire Young Poets Competition. Previous youth advisors have spoken at events like the COP26 summit and conducted interviews for Sky News. Jamie's UNICEF role will give her the opportunity to talk to leaders and decision makers worldwide. And she is aiming to use her 2-year term to highlight the issues she is most interested in: gender equality, women's rights, protecting free speech and access to education for all. Jamie said, "I am very excited to be representing young people as part of the UNICEF UK Youth Advisory Board and to amplify children's voices and concerns in decision making."
Pupils bury time capsule to capture the moment. A time capsule to capture a moment in history of Winnall has been buried by primary school pupils and members of the community. The Mayor of Winchester, Derek Green, as well as City Councillor Paula Ferguson and Housing Development and Strategy Manager Paul Rowland from Winchester City Council, joined children, teachers, Winchester Historical Society and Waits Residential to mark the burial and showcase the items chosen to go into the capsule. The project, which was led by Waits alongside the Winchester Historical Association, saw around 240 pupils from Winnall Primary School involved, with 12 attending the event to help bury the time capsule. Submissions from the pupils included storybooks, drawings, year group photos, scripts from school plays, small toys, and pieces of work. Waits contributed a variety of items, from site plans to meeting minutes, that will show the progress made in working with the council to regenerate the area. Winchester Historical Association has noted the time capsule location coordinates so future generations can discover this moment in history, and there's an accompanying photograph with the 12 students and the new mayor and the councillor and the Winchester City Council rep, all looking very happy in front of a square hole in the ground.
Nothing like a square hole in the ground. Well, I'm sorry to say that's all we have for you this week. When you've finished with the recording, please put the memory stick back in the wallet, place the correct address label on the front of the wallet, and return it as soon as possible. I will say thank you to all the support teams for the preparation and dispatch of this edition, with particular thanks to our editors, and of course to the readers, Daphne Poupart.
Goodbye.
Nick Kearns.
Goodbye.
And Frieda Bates.
Goodbye.
And from me, Barbara Kearns, once again, apologies for the background noise we've had this week. Somebody was about to drill something into the roof, apparently. Thank you for listening, and until next time, goodbye and have a great week.